Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Umagyana Chimirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Svaparantikam Vandiham Shri Gurun Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Staha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Subadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Mitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Kupesha Kupika Kanta Radha Kanta Namusute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sute Devi Vanamami Hari Pri Panchakalpata Rupyashta Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. And the prayer we just chanted is like for invoking auspiciousness. So we're reading today from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translated and commented by Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the title of the chapter is called Contents of the Gita Summarized. There's one page before. Kapanya dushu pahata svabhavaha. Kapanya dushu pahata svabhavaha. Ritscha mitvam dharma samudachita. Yashreyasyan nischitam bruhitane. Shishyasti hang shadi mang tampapanam. Karpanya dushu pahata svabhava. Kritscha mitvang dharma samudachita. Yashreyasyan nischitam bruhitane. Shishyasti hang shadi mang tvam papanam. Karpanya dushu pahata svabhava. Kritscha mitvang dharma samudachita. Yashreyasyan nischitam bruhitane. Shishyasti hang shadi mang tvam papanam. Karpanya dushu pahata svabhava. Kritscha mitvam dharma samudachita. Yashreyasyan nischitam bruhitane. Shishyasti hang shadi mang tvam papanam. Karpanya dushu pahata svabhava. Pushyami Chandamasa Mudhachita. Yashreyasyam Nischitam Bruhitam. Yashreyasyam Nischitam Bruhitam. Shishyasti Hang Shadi Mantram Papanam. Matajis. Kapanya Dushu Svabha Svabha. Uchami Sandama Samudachita. Yachayasyam Nischitam Bruhitam. Shishyasti Hang Shadi Mantram Papanam. Would you also like to try? Would you like? Okay, now we read word for word translation. Karpanya of miserliness. Dosha by the weakness. Upahata being afflicted. Svabhavaha characteristics. Krishami I am asking. Tvam, unto you. Dharma, religion. Samudha, bewildered. Chetaha, in heart. Yat, what? Shreyaha, all good. Syat, maybe. Nischitam, confidently. Buhi, tell. Tat, that. Me, unto me. Shishya, disciple. Te, your. Aham, I am. Shadhi, just instruct. Mam, me. Tvam, unto you. Prapannam, surrendered. Translation in purple, Percy Vangres, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Purport. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. Oh, thank you, Jai. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom, therefore, advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in a disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not, therefore, remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.8.10, the perplexed man is described as follows. Yuva etad aksharam gagya vititva smalokat prati sakripanaha. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human, and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs, without understanding the signs of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity, who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahmana, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. The Kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc., in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children, and other members, on the basis of skin disease. The Kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the Kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals, who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious. And now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet, foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not to submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. I read again the verse. Kapanya dushu parasvabhava prichami tvam dharma samudachetaha yat shreyasyan nischitam bruhitame shishyasti hangsharimam tvam papannam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So, this verse is actually a very nice verse because all of us, we are here usually because we are seeking for some higher truth. We are seeking for God or no, for absolute truth, finally. So, generally, our inclination is to find out what is the life about, isn't it? So this verse is now showing exactly the process of changing the attitude, you know. But to give some brief summary, I would like to review what happened before. So this Bhagavad Gita, does everyone know Bhagavad Gita? Who does not know Bhagavad Gita? Not so much. Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield, and this battle was about 5,000 years ago, and it should needed to go on between two parts of the same family. So actually it was a great dilemma, ne? On one hand, because Arjuna in this verse is addressing that due to his being attached to his family, he does not like to kill them, which is nice, actually. It's a nice feeling, normal feeling to have compassion, especially as Srila Prabhupada mentions in Gita several times, that is actually like because Arjuna's is soft-hearted devotee, has all the good qualities of the devatas, so it's very natural in one kind of sense. But as soon as this attachment to whatever, may it family or some activity, whatever is material, you know, means we identify ourselves with this mind and body, and due to that we are attached to it, this when this is obstructing or an obstacle to I'm speaking too quick, Prabhu? Oh. Okay, also I could, you know, slow down. I'm sorry for speaking too quick. So then become better soon. By the mercy of the Lord. So, coming back. So it's good to have feelings, no? Like also we know that actually as long as we are not yet liberated, we can exercise our relationships among ourselves. So it's good, like on a platform of becoming elevated, you know, to know how to deal with each other. But when this affection or attachments disturb our performance of duties, no? Then it is becoming an obstacle, and this is exactly what this verse is about. No? So that's why he is addressing this attachment as miserly weakness. It's because he is intelligent. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Arjuna, because of his being intelligent, he could understand that this family attachment was the cause for his bewilderment. So that he didn't want to execute his duty. As a kshatriya, he had to fight. So it was very difficult. So the review of that, what happened before is, the battle of Kurukshetra is about to start. As Arjuna desires to see all those who assembled there to fight against the Pandavas' right claim. So he asked Krishna to drive the chariot in between the two armies. Krishna does this. Then Arjuna suddenly realizes that in that great battle, all his friends and family members would participate and eventually die. Being a soft-hearted devotee of Lord Krishna, he becomes overwhelmed by compassion for all of them and out of family attachment. Thus, he starts arguing on the basis of Shastric knowledge, actually, but misusing the philosophy, because he doesn't want to fight. So then Krishna chastises him, and then again Arjuna doubts to fight and argues that he cannot fight against his superiors. You know, he still is arguing, you know. But now, at the same time, in this verse, his attitude is changing. No? And that's why he accepts Krishna as a spiritual master. So in this verse, Srila Prabhupada makes a couple of nice points, actually. And he says the purport of the verse is that one should get out of material perplexities of life by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. So first of all, maybe we need to understand what are the perplexities of life, right? To understand, okay, what it's all about. And I was thinking a little bit how one could describe it. As far as I can understand, these perplexities come up when there's something interfering with the natural state. You know, like Srila Prabhupada says, there's some forest fire. Nobody sets fire on the forest, but it is there, you know, and then one is perplexed. So when the natural state is not completely proper, as it should be, then we are perplexed. So, also we can relate that to Arjuna's state now. No? Our original nature is that we are actually the spiritual soul. But our misconception is that we are thinking we are the body and the mind, intelligence, which are just material elements, like earth, water, fire, ether. No? They are just more subtle elements, the mind, intelligence, false ego. False ego thinks when I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. So, and yeah, so then we are perplexed because we know something is not yet properly. We are bewildered. What should I do? What should I not do? We sense already, yeah, something has to be adjusted. It's not yet properly. No? The conscience is guiding us, okay, in which direction? So, these are perplexities, as far as I understand. Does someone want to maybe give another his understanding of perplexities so that we can see what it is about more? Yeah, this is more like the problems of life. This is like different. It's not exactly the perplexities. This is like the problems, solve the problems of life. They are actually birth, death, organs and disease. I mean, they are in one sense, one could say, they are the perplexities because they are not natural for the soul. They are natural, so to say, for the body only. But since we are not the body, so it's not really natural. Perplexity means confusion, yeah, yeah. Okay, so one first of all needs to understand, so what are these perplexities? And we heard already, okay, you know, we don't want to die, we don't want to become diseased, or to become old, usually, because we sense it's quite troublesome, right? Like, yeah. We already have some experience, the digestion doesn't work properly, we have some pain in the back or something is there. And it's like not natural for the soul. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he's pointing out two different kinds of human beings. And because he's saying that the human form of life is very valuable asset. And because in the human form of life we can understand actually what we are, whether we are the body or we are not the body, we are the soul. So and then in the purport he explains, okay, there's the kripana, the miser, which practically is too much attached to material things like family, relationships, to possessions and so many things, fame, beauty. So these things one can be attached to. And he's a kripana because these are all selfish desires. Desires meant to satisfy his material desires. To be honored, to look beautiful, or I don't know. So many varieties. On the other hand, there's the brahmana. And the brahmana is being explained a little bit. Srila Prabhupada explains, brahmana is he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. So, that means one who's making use of his intelligence, he is considered a brahmana, but not only material intelligence, since we also learned that this is also one covering of the soul, but Bhagavad Gita especially is meant for helping us to grow our spiritual intelligence, to become aware with our spiritual intelligence. And in this way learn how to distinguish between what actually should be done and what should not be done. There are actions that can entangle us in material life, entangle us in the material conception of life, and so such actions which are liberating us, because they're free from selfish desires. So, first of all, it's very interesting to see coming now to the third point, by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, one can only by this means one can get out of these material perplexities of life. So why is that the case? We see there are so many sciences around, so many philosophies, so many things. People think. They already think, okay, what is the aim of life? What does happiness really mean? You know, even the like classical Greek philosophers, they're all concerned about like, what is the ultimate good, you know, medieval philosophers, they were thinking, okay, then it must be God, you know, what is God? So there's already some kind of interest is there. But because this knowledge, empiric kind of knowledge, because it's ultimately based on their own perceptions, which are based on the senses, then it's very faulty. And there are four mistakes which the conditioned soul, we do have. First of all, our senses are imperfect. So often we can see people wearing the spectacles or something, you know. It means our eyes are not really sufficient to see things. Or we tend to make mistakes, you know, also. We all know this proverb that to err is human, right? I mean, everyone sometimes makes some mistake. Why? Because we don't know exactly, you know, we made some mistake. We didn't know the full background or something, and we intended to do something, but because there was lack of some knowledge, we make a mistake. So, also it's imperfect. Then also we are illusioned. Like, for example, somebody falls in love. Then one just sees, oh, you know, all the good sides of the person. And it's not realistic in his approach, right? Does not see the bad sides too. This comes only a little bit later. And then also another one. What was the last one? Cheating. Yeah, exactly. We have the propensity for cheating. Cheating others and cheating ourselves. We want to look better than we actually are, is it? Like if we're really honest and look deep inside, how often we want to look better to other persons, you know, than we actually did, you know, deserve to. It's natural, kind of. But this is why it is very reasonable to understand that this empiric kind of knowledge is not a good means to understand the ultimate absolute truth, because it's relative. With something which is relative, you cannot send the absolute. But also now we could think, okay, this philosophy we know, but how does it relate to us? It relates to us because, we could think that, okay, now we know that, you know, there are these four mistakes, you know, and yeah, the sciences and philosophy, you know, they cannot reach the ultimate goal by their empiric way of knowledge. So, but why are you telling us that, you know? What is in it for us? I'm telling that, you know, because sometimes we also have that propensity. Maybe not so consciously, but we tend to think, yeah, I understand already the situation, it is exactly why that and that, you know. And then due to our experiences before, you know, then like material, you know, experiences we had or some idea of some sense objects we saw or something, then we also have the same approach, actually. We try to understand the absolute truth, God, by our own speculations, our own whims. So it's very good, actually, to understand that we cannot succeed in this endeavor. It's impossible. Why? Because of these four mistakes. So that's why Krishna, Arjuna, is very intelligently now, is here. First of all, he's realizing with his intelligence that he cannot understand it, you know, because he's too much affected from this bewilderment, you know. But he knows, okay, that is exactly why I am bewildered. And so, in this state, he agrees practically, yeah, I am a fool, number one, I cannot understand it, although before he was still arguing, you know. But then at the same time, then he surrenders to Krishna and he says, in this condition I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So, now after realizing his condition, he surrenders unto Krishna as a disciple. This is exactly the change of attitude which we need to have in order to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Because unless we come to the point that, like Socrates, he said, the only thing I know is that I don't know anything, right? When we think we know so many things and, oh, you know, always the same, especially when it comes to the classes, you know, we are not the body, we are not the body, we are not the body, and you know we are not the body. And sometimes one could think, why always you have to hear that, you know? Can you not tell something more interesting or something? But it's so important, because we still need to realize that, isn't it? Otherwise, repetition is very important, actually. Only by repetition we can learn that. So, this kind of attitude in Arjun, after his agreeing, you know, that he is fool number one, practically, and understanding that, he says, okay, Krishna, please, now I am your disciple. Please instruct me. So this instruction of Krishna, this is actually, for our benefit, is spoken as the Bhagavad Gita itself. Bhagavad Gita is spoken to destroy our doubts, our ignorance. Ultimately, doubts arise from ignorance, from not knowing something. Exactly like Arjuna is doing here, you know, he says, so please help me out, you know, I have this doubt. Like I said before, he thinks that he cannot fight against his superiors, you know, because they are anyway superiors, and was not even supposed to have a verbal argument with superiors, right, from Vedic culture, a very nice culture, but, yeah. So now he raises his doubt and then he submits to Krishna. So this necessity of approaching a bona fide spiritual master, we can very nicely read in another chapter. There's one important verse which I would like to read to you, because I find there are so much more important points inside. Maybe some of you know that already. Taviri pranipatina pariprasnina sivaya uparekshyan titigyanam yaninastaparashinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Yes, page 216. Anyway, you don't need to find the page, you know. It's okay, I'm anyway just reading. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. So here we have it clear. Srila Prabhupada says, black on white, no one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process. So that means, the conclusion from that is, we have to accept a path chalked out by previous authorities. In the Vedas we also learn Mahajanu Yenagata Sapantaha. We should follow the path of the Mahajans, like of the great souls, great devotees of the Lord, following in their footsteps, not imitating. Following means to follow their instructions. Like in Bhagavad Gita we have so many instructions from Srila Prabhupada. They are meant for us, so we can practically use this book of surviving in the material world, and ultimately get out of here, back home, back to God, back to the spiritual world. So, where was I? Ah, okay, yeah, here. The Bhagavatam says, Dhammang tu saksha bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor, by independent study of books of knowledge, can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. So this is a very important passage for me personally, relating to my life, I don't know how it is for you, because before Srila Prabhupada explains that one cannot be a bona fide spiritual master without following the principles of disciplic succession. It means without himself accepting a bona fide spiritual master. So in this way, all of us who have taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, we are representative of our spiritual masters, of our gurus. Even though we are disciples, but still, we can convey the message as it is. And this is very important thing, that because sometimes we tend to, maybe we can think, okay, you know, I surrender to the pure devotee, Maha Bhagavat, Mahajan, you know, no problem, my spiritual master Jai. But then what about all the other devotees? But actually, how much time do we actually spend actively with our spiritual master? And how much time, on the other hand, we spend in association of the Vaishnavas, of the devotees? So actually, as Sureshwara Prabhu these days, he pointed out that it needs a parampara to raise a sadaka, a bhakta, an aspirant in spiritual life. It mainly means that we are actually depending upon one each other. That's also why we should speak Krishna Katha, we should reveal our mind in confidence, ask questions confidently, we should give presents, not to each other, receive presents, give prasad or take prasad. So this is the six kinds of loving exchanges between the devotees. And so I have some personal relationship with that, because during the course of time of my spiritual life, which started like Krishna consciousness started about maybe 10 years ago, a little bit less, I happened to be in many different temples. And of course, you know, when you are together with other people, which you didn't choose, but they are just there, so often there's like, you know, some quarrels is there, or some misunderstanding. Actually, it's all good. It's all meant for our purification, and once we accept that. And then also I had some things like that, which I appreciate a lot, but sometimes it was really difficult, you know, scratching completely on my false ego. You know, one time I was like kicked out from one temple because I was getting too much on the nerves of my authority. You know, he should preach, you know, not just Sunday feast. I wanted some preaching, you know. I was not happy with that, and I was getting too much on his case. So then he just, you know, kicked me out practically. But it was good, because there I could not have continued my growth, my maturity. And my spiritual master at that point, he gave a class, and he said that we shouldn't take it personally, you know, such things. We should see it as Krishna's arrangement. Because when we do our best thing, what we can do, which I did, you know, it was not that I was, you know, blaming him for something or like in a bad motivation. Then, what did I say? I'm sorry. Oh yeah, it's Krishna's arrangement. Yeah, in order for us to continue. Otherwise I would not have gone from there, because it was the first temple where I joined. It was practically my home. And immediately from the first day when I went there, I just visited, I immediately felt home. So it broke my heart to go from there, you know, but it was really necessary for my development in spiritual life. And also, like in my last 3 years in Munich, there came one point when my authority was not relating very nicely, you know, because she was like burned out to us, you know, like not very nicely behaving, you know, and then I became increasingly frustrated, you know. And then at one point I even stopped going to the temple, which was almost like suicide, spiritual suicide. It was a really hard time. And I tried to maintain my spiritual life at home. I had my flat and everything, but it was not the same. And then at one point my spiritual master, he came, you know, and then anyway, you know, so he told me, you know, that, you know, in your case, I would just stick with devotional service, you know, no matter what the person does or not does, because the important thing actually is to do the devotional service. So he was blessing me, giving me some mercy. But due to all these things which happened to me, I could understand actually I'm completely dependent upon the mercy of the devotees. Not only of the pure devotees, Because the purificatory process is mainly going on between ourselves, right? So this is maybe something which cannot be underestimated, I think. Huh? So this is one very important point which I wanted to make. And then, unless there's submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So this submission is again, you know, is we have to understand that we do not know anything. And there's a very nice example there from one Brahmana who was very, very learned, and he approached another one Brahmana who was even more learned, and he wanted to learn from him. I don't know exactly who it was, Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami, because I didn't read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in any case, then he went to this Brahmana and asked him, oh, please instruct me in that knowledge. And the Brahmana said, okay, come back tomorrow, you know. Okay, this Brahmana returned home, and the next day he came back. And then, when he came, the spiritual master, he just said, sit down here nicely, you know. And he gave him one glass and put water in it, you know, like accommodated him nicely. But then he didn't stop pouring the water, you know, and then the glass was overflowing. The water ran out. And he was not stopping, you know. And the disciple, he was like, stop, stop, you know, it's full already, you know. And then this master, practically this other Brahmana, more learned Brahmana, he said, you see, this is exactly the same with you. You come here, you're already full. You think you know everything. So what do you want to take? Right, if I have my hand full, how can I take anything? First of all, I need to get my hand empty, is it? And then I can get something. So we need this submissive mood, not to understand that actually, this is also is humility, actually, to understand that I'm just a servant of everyone else, you know. And I can learn from whomsoever. We can even learn from the ant, you know, from the tree, from anybody, you know. May he be the most fallen soul. You know? We can learn so much from any person. So this is very important point, to be submissive, to understand actually that one, you know, is in need to get mercy and knowledge, to get blessings. So then inquiries, you know, it's not that we just serve. Also, naturally, one should ask questions. Okay, what is this all about? No? And how can I solve this problem? Like Arjuna is doing in this verse. Okay, please help me. I'm bewildered. What should I do? Please tell me definitely what is the best for me to do. This is exactly what is our duty in the material, in this human form of life, because we have this intelligence, knowledge, understanding, to discriminate between things. Animals don't have that. And so it's our, in one sense, our gift, you know, special asset, and also our duty to utilize it properly. And the proper use of that is only by engaging it in spiritual topics. Because this is ultimately to understand, okay, what is material nature, what is the soul, what is God, what is different kind of activities and the time. Okay, so then, submissively serving inquiry. Yeah. This boasting constitutes the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Otherwise, if those things are not there, one does not serve very submissively, and one doesn't ask, the spiritual master naturally is not inclined to help one further. Hmm? Like if one is full, what is the use, you know, to give somebody something? He cannot take it anyway. In the Bible it's said very nicely that you should not throw the pearls before the pigs, like female pigs. They cannot utilize it, right? So unless one understands, actually I am in need, please help me, and one is seeking shelter, you know, of Krishna, then how one will be benefited? Jai, Hare Krishna. So, yeah, this is what was on my heart. Do you have a comment or question to that? Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. The glass of water example is that when we are not submissive, right? We are not humble. We are thinking we know already, practically. We are proud, you know. And we think that, oh yeah, I have everything. Like if you have a book in a hand, or maybe more things, the hands are occupied. You cannot take it. So it's important to first of all empty that glass, you know, to understand that actually I know. I only know that I don't know anything. You know, and then we are open to receive. And we are like a sponge, you know, like a very eager actually to learn. We are ready to learn. Unless we don't have that attitude, but not submissive and you know, understanding actually, oh yes, I need to have help, no? Like Arjuna here in this verse, we cannot get it. And this is actually, it's nice that you ask this point, no? Unless there's submission and service. Inquiries, that means questions, will not be effective. So we can ask questions, but we will not be able to understand those, the essence of these questions without service and without submissiveness. So this is an important point. Thank you very much. You pointed out that. Yeah, so everyone who likes to engage in devotional service, I can just congratulate, because it's the topmost gift for humanity at large. For ourselves, for others. There's no better thing. And especially I recommend this Bhagavad Gita. If you don't have it, please purchase it. It's the most best book. Mahadyuti Prabhu, who is a traveling preacher, Prabhupada disciple, he said this Bhagavad Gita is actually like a survival book. You know, like when your plane crashes somewhere in the jungle or something, and then you need to survive in that circumstances, right? So you better know what you can eat and what you can do and which animal is dangerous and how to get out of there, right? So this Bhagavad Gita is teaching us how we can survive here in this material atmosphere spiritually and ultimately get out of it. So it's like the spiritual survival book. So it's the essence of everything. It's a nice comparison, huh? I love it too. He's very inspiring. So I'm sorry I was maybe a little bit not organized enough in my thoughts. Please forgive me. I hope anyway something was in there for you to become inspired, you know, to read Bhagavad Gita and in this way nourish spiritual intelligence and then practice actively devotional service. Actually, in this month of Kartik, like I told you before, it is very, very effective. Even you do a little bit of service, I think it's like 1,000 times or 10,000 times more effective than in another time of the year. Because this month is very dear to Krishna, to Lord Krishna. So whenever you have the opportunity to do some extra service, you know, or you have some vow, maybe to chant a few rounds more or something for the pleasure of the Lord, it will be such a great benefit. You know, whatever you take up, you know, keep doing it. It's not so long anymore. Especially the last 5 years, 5 days of Kartik are the most powerful. So even if you don't manage to keep all Kartik, some vow or some service or whatever, you can at least take maybe this last 5 days. And they are very powerful. Okay, so thank you very much for this opportunity. Grantaratrat Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.